Okay, try now.
Okay. Yay. All right. So I am going to jump directly into the content today. We have a lot to cover. I know there's been a lot going on with PPMS and with DLA's batch service connection to ours. So I just want to get right in and start going through some of these issues. We are going to mute the phones just for the duration of the presentation so that we can deliver it without like accidental interruptions. And then at the end, everyone will be unmuted. We'll allow people to unmute to ask questions. I didn't want you to feel alarmed if you couldn't unmute. So we're just asking that everyone hold their questions until the end of the presentation. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. Okay, so as you know, PPMS is live. We went live on July 24th, so a little over 1 month, 1.5 months, I guess, live. We are aggressively working to remedy any system issues. So I know, as with any new system, there are going to be issues. So we've been working as hard as we can to fix defects in a timely manner and at the same time work on our system enhancements. So we thank you in advance for your patience. I know it's not been easy, but we do appreciate the patience that you are showing as we get, situated with the new system. As a reminder, there are many resources you can use to learn about the new system. So we've got our user guides on the user guide page, along with some training presentations. There are several on-demand training videos that will be up. And of course, your local area property officers and PPMS champions are always a resource for you. So the PPMS champions, they're kind of like an internal GSA thing. Basically, each zone has somebody who's acting as the PPMS champion. So even if you reach out to your area property officer and they don't know the answer, they can go to their champion and get you the information that you need, or it'll come to central office and we'll get you the answers that you need. Okay. So what to expect? As I mentioned earlier, every new system is going to have issues. It's an inevitable part of launching a new system that we cannot anticipate every single issue that will occur. So, that's not to say that we did not try. We spent hundreds and thousands of hours developing this system, conducting testing. We invited you to participate in the testing, and we fixed as many of the foreseeable defects in advance as we could. But again, it's impossible to anticipate every single issue that will happen, especially when a system is operating at full capacity. So, it might seem like a lot, but it's very, very normal for there to be issues at the beginning of a system launch. So, excuse me. Now that we've developed our base system, we're going to spend the next several months continuing to correct those system defects. So, any defects that are discovered, we're working to cover them as quickly as possible. And we're also trying to implement those enhancements. So again, please be patient because this is a long process. I know many of you probably were not around for the beginning of this, but GSA Access was also originally launched as an MVP system. So it was very similar to this process. It launched as a bare bones system, and then enhancements were added over a 10 plus year, section of time. So it started as a excuse me. You guys can hear me, right?
Tina, yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Thank you. I saw there was a chat about somebody not being able to see or hear. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Thank you. So GSA Access also started as an MVP system, but we had had a chance over the many, many years that the system was in production to enhance it and add very specialized enhancements. And we're not really there yet with the new system. So please keep in mind that PPMS is a minimum viable product or an MVP. And what this means is that we were only approved to build the bare minimum product that we need to do our jobs, which means that in order to get the base system launched as quickly as possible, we were not able to implement any highly customized features such as custom TCNs. So the benefits, of course, is that we were able to implement the newer system more quickly, and with many improved features, things like photo editing and rich text descriptions. So, we were able to argue that a lot of this, market available type features were necessary for our system. So we were able to get a lot of those built right into the base system, but we were not able to get everything approved. So there is some lost functionality that you might've been used to in GSA Access that was built into it over the 20 plus years that the system was online. So this is really just designed to help you understand where we're at with PPMS, why you're seeing some lost functionality from GSA Access, and just again to ask you for your patience as we try to implement new enhancements that will help us get us back to where we were before. So let's quickly talk about how the request process works. So whenever a customer comes to us with an issue in the system, we go through this set of questions to figure out what we're working with. So the first question we ask is the system operating as it was designed to operate? Whether we think that design is good or bad or indifferent does not matter. The question comes down to, is it operating as it was designed to operate? If the answer is no, then we create a defect. And those we expect to have fixed in about 1 to 3 weeks, depending on their level of severity. The other question the other side of the house is, let's say, yes, it is operating as it's designed. Then we ask, okay, is this a data update or a request? If it's a data update, then we can do that through our O&M process, operations and maintenance. And that again takes about 1 to 3 weeks. But if it's not a data request, something as simple as that, and it's a system enhancement request, then it has to go in our DM&E backlog. And DM&E is basically system maintenance and enhancements. It's the process where we have to look at the new requirement. We have to work to develop the rules and the acceptance criteria. We have to, you know, have multiple sessions with our vendor to figure out what that includes. We have to test it, et cetera. So you're looking at a minimum of 16 weeks from front to back when it comes time to implement an enhancement. So from the time that you tell us something that's missing, or by the time we learn about something that could be enhanced, it's a minimum of 16 weeks. And that time process can actually be longer, which I'll explain in the next couple of slides. So what I did here was I gave an example of real issues that have been reported by the state agencies. And following the process here, I was able to determine whether it was a defect or an enhancement. So you can see here that I believe when we first started, the search function was not operating. SASP users couldn't find any property, right? The search results were showing a zero no matter what. That's a defect of the system. The state agencies should have the ability to search for property. So that's a defect. And again, the fix can happen 1 to 3 weeks, depending on the level of severity. The search should save is an enhancement. Now, we understand that this is a very frustrating feature of the system. We felt the same way, but unfortunately, it was not deemed part of the MVP system. So we've already been working on this. We've already got the enhancement built out. It will be implemented in one of our first phases of enhancements. But again, it just takes time. And that's why we're asking, again, for your patience through this process. Updating the location search to include a radius. Again, this is an enhancement. The functionality does not yet exist in the system, so it has to be enhanced to include it. Adding TCNs to the advanced filter search. This is an enhancement. Being unable to add to your cart, that's a defect, right? You need to be able to add to your cart. The system is supposed to function in that way, so it's a defect, and so on and so forth. I don't need to read all of these to you, but again, it's just to help. This is designed to help you understand that when you're reporting issues to us, we do have to go through this process, determine if it's a defect or enhancement, and then handle it correctly. Okay. Another thing I wanted you to understand is that as we are doing our PPMS developments and updates, this includes all updates. So defects, data updates, enhancements, they're all handled by the same exact group, right? So there's only so many people who can work on this system, who are knowledgeable enough about the system to implement data fixes and updates, right? And same thing at our level and at your level, right? Like there's only so many people who are knowledgeable about our programs and who can work on them. So we have to prioritize all of those updates by level of severity, impact, et cetera. And we also have to balance all of those activities among all three of our systems. So in addition to PPMS, we also have CFL, and we also have our sales side of the house. So, you know, we are implementing things as quickly as we possibly can, but we still have to prioritize all of them accordingly. Okay, and this is kind of an overview of what the change request process looks like. So, you know, we get the change request or the, you know, the report from you that something's missing or something isn't working as it should. Then we have to do an impact analysis. You know, who is affected? How many users are impacted? How many TOs are impacted, et cetera? You know, what is the impact? Is this issue preventing you from doing your job, or is it a simple typo that's not affecting anything? Right, then we have to plan when we're gonna release it. We have to plan all of the change implementation activities. We have to schedule a system released that can be tested. You know, we have to do defect fixes. We have to adapt the platform, not just where the defect exists, but we have to test all of the other system code to make sure that the fix that we're making isn't messing other things up, you know, et cetera. So this is a long process, right? And it includes more than just fixing something. We have to develop it. We have to test it. We have to implement it. We have to go back to testing, and then we have to fix any new defects that occur as a result. Okay, so that helps us to explain why the DME backlog takes so long. So something to keep in mind is that GSA Access has not had any major enhancements for the last 5 years. So basically, once we started working on the PPMS system, we stopped making significant enhancements to GSA Access. So, you know, I don't think people really remember what it's like to go through a system enhancement. So as a reminder, the releases are typically 6 sprints. Each sprint is 2 weeks. So we're looking at 12 weeks of development. And again, this time is shared between UND, CFL, and our sales programs. And it also includes things that don't have customer visibility, things like when we're required to implement security updates, and other behind the scenes updates that take place, you know, just to keep the system updated, running, and secure. And then there's an additional 1 to 3 sprints or 2 to 6 weeks of testing. And this happens again to ensure that we are not causing further issues with the system when we implement new code. So, you know, we do testing at our user level. We do testing internally at PPM. The contractor has to do testing. A lot of testing happens. And this helps minimize issues when we do go to the production release. Okay, so now let's talk about some of the things we are already ready to implement. So these particular ones were already completed before the PPMS launched. And when I say completed, what I mean is that we've already gone through the enhancement process. So they have not yet been sent to production, but we've already worked with our contractor through, you know, the 6 sprints of development and the 1 to 3 sprints of testing, so that these are actually all ready to go. And we have them scheduled to go out as part of our first release, which is tentatively scheduled for October. So over the next few weeks, we will be working to do additional testing, UAT testing, which is that user acceptance testing that some of you participated in before. And then hopefully by the end of October, we'll be able to implement all of these enhancements. So one of them is the check all, uncheck all for the category search. So when you're in the search property page and all those categories are listed on the left-hand side, you have to individually check and uncheck. Then if you go out and come back, they're all checked again. That is something that we are planning to fix with release number 1. So that should hopefully make things much easier for you. We'll also be adding the ability to search by transfer control number in the history tab of the search. So now instead of just being able to search by ICN, you'll be able to search by TCN as well. And that's going to make it a lot easier. We're also building in some reporting requirements. So you'll be able to download a user list downloaded, and then you can use it for annual user recertification. And we're also adding a feature that allows you to upload documentation to user profiles. So access requests or any other type of DONI information that you want included, you can actually link directly to the user profile. And then the reporting tool for end of year reporting requirements as well. So just allowing ad hoc reporting for, you know, property that's reported or received, etc. Okay. These are DLA DCMA specific updates. So these are things that we were, you know, made aware of that didn't match up, right? And so we have been working on trying to get these implemented as quickly as possible. So some of these are that DCMA specific SF-122s and 123s need to have that plant clearance information on them so that you can pick up at DCMA. We are working on this. And we're also working on some critical system fixes that are impacting all the reporting property and sales. And then we have other DCMA and DLA fixes that are lower priority and are being handled separately, because again, we're trying to balance those against system defects and other enhancements that are also very important. Okay. Because of the unanticipated issues with DLA, we have had to reschedule some of the things that we were planning to release with our first enhancement release. So what you see here are some things that are tentatively planned for our second release. And I say tentatively because this is a very agile process. And what agile means is that you can have a plan, but you have to be able to, and ready to pivot if something new comes up. So barring no other major issues are discovered before release number two, then likely this is what we will release. But if anything else major comes up, then again, some of these things could have to be reshifted or moved around to make room for other, you know, very urgent required updates. So the things that we're planning for the second release would be the back button, saving your search. So, we know, again, this is a big sticking point for you guys. This would enable you to click onto a report, go back to your previous page, and the search would be saved for you. So that, again, we know this is important. We're trying to get it done as soon as possible. Right now, we're hoping for update number two. And likely this will be around February or April. We're also going to implement a radius search. So you'd be able to search by DLA or other federal sites. You can put in a city, state, zip, and then search within a specific radius to that site. So it's actually more robust than our previous DLA search feature, because it allows you to search from any city, state, or location in a radius. So it should be pretty cool. And then we're also working on some additional DLA or DCMA fixes. We're going to make some quantity SRD updates so that this is kind of in the weeds, but DLA reports to us through batch, and right now the system is not allowing them to make those changes. So that's why you have seen us cancel TCNs and then come back to you and say, hey, you can re-request it, right? Because the system isn't allowing them to make the quantity and SRD changes if there's an active request. So this update will allow DLA and DCMA to make changes to the quantity and SRD even if there's an active request. So we won't have to cancel your requests anymore. They'll be able to update the reports regardless. And so that's something we're really looking forward to. We're also going to change the DRMO grouping for TCNs and provide additional batch web service changes as needed. So I know the DRMO grouping one is a big thing for you guys as well, because you're getting a lot more TOs than you used to. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Okay. So going back to the DLA, DCMA, SRD, or surplus release date and quantity changes and their associated denials. So again, what's happening is we can't process those SRD or change or quantity change requests if there's an active request. So we have to cancel it and then make the change. So the way to know that whether or not this applies to you is that one of the nice new features of the system is that we can add a denial reason. So when you get your denial notification, if it has the message agency requested change / deletion via batch web service, that means that DLA had to make a change to the item and it may still be available for you to request. So if it says change was requested via batch web service, then you can go back into the system and see if that property is still available for requesting. And then specialty FSCs, Christy, would you mind describing this one for me?
Yes. So currently, DLA is required to report specialty FSC fields that they do not collect in their systems. They're sending placeholder information. And they'll put a statement in the description if it applies. We've tried to make the placeholder information very obvious that it's placeholders, such as a vehicle model year of 1900. But we also ask them to put it in the description field and direct to contact the site for more information. They didn't report this field in GSA Access, and GSA Access is blank, but in PPMS they are required until we fix that.
Thank you very much. Okay, so now we're gonna go through a couple of reminders. Okay, reminders for exchange sale property. We've sent emails about this, but I wanted to give a reminder live here today as well. In the new PPMS system, you have the ability to check out exchange sale property, and that's because we were supposed to build out an additional feature that would allow us to go directly to the fixed price sale. However, that did not happen. So we are asking that you do not check out exchange sale property and just follow the same exact procedures that you did in GSA Access. So basically, you know, write down the ICN number, email it to, you know, the zonal sales office, CC your APO if you want, and just say, we have a donee interested in buying this item. And then, you know, if possible, they'll implement it at the sales phase. So again, do not check out exchange sale property. It's just going to prolong the process by kind of, you know, holding it in PPMS. So we ask that you follow the same procedure as before. Okay, if you need to add a new FEMA disaster code, all you have to do is email us at ppms@gsa.gov. Include disaster in the subject line and then include the FEMA code for the disaster, and we will email it to our operations and maintenance contractor and have them upload it into the system for you. Typically, we're able to get this done in the same day. You know, I'll say usually because, you know, if it's the very end of the day, it might take till the next day, but generally, you know, we're very quick turnaround time on getting those disaster codes uploaded. Okay, DCMA plant clearance information. So if you need to get the plant clearance information in order to schedule a pickup, then you can email us at ppms@gsa.gov. Include the TCNs that you need the plant clearance information for, and we will be able to respond back to you with the plant clearance information for the TCNs. Again, turnaround time is typically one business day for that. Okay. GSA sales and property custodians. This gets a little bit confused. Christy, would you mind covering this one as well?
Sure. So if you report property back to us for GSA to sell, you'll notice a new feature in PPMS called auction review. There's two great videos on it on the website. But many of you have reached out asking about who is able to approve the auctions before they post live. Right now, only the listed property custodian on your property can approve sales via auction review. It is only one person, checks for one email. So if you need to make a change, or you want to change how you're doing things at your site or at your SaaS, you need to email the GSA sales POC or SCO listed on the data sheet. Every property data sheet will list a sales POC, and they can make that change for you. The turnaround time, usually once it's ready for you to approve, usually it's 1 to 2 business days. If you're not getting a response, you can elevate to the zonal sales manager. At this time, they are considering expanding this. But as of right now, again, it is only the person who is listed as the property custodian on your property who can approve.
Thank you so much, Christy. I would have done a much less good job of explaining that, so I appreciate it. Okay. All right, so we will open it up for questions in a few minutes, but I did want to go over a few that were sent to us in advance and that we've seen kind of come through time and again. So we only have a couple here to go over with you. The first one is why can't we see the property, I can't even read this. Why can't we see requested property by location? So this is on our enhancements list, but it's not there yet. So we're gonna add that radius search to, you know, include DLA and federal sites. In February, April, 2024, we're also going to add a filter to your TCNs, which we'll talk about in a moment as well. Okay. Can you explain the new TO numbers? So the new transfer order numbers, they have changed in the new system. We sent an email about this as well, but for those of you who are not yet familiar, the TCNs have changed in the new system. SASPs are not able to edit any part of the TCN in the new system. And the new format is that the first two codes are the alpha state code, so NE for Nebraska, and then there's a two-digit fiscal year. So for instance, 23 for 2023, next year will be 24, then 25, et cetera. And it's followed by six randomly generated digits. The reason this change was made is because we had issues with duplicate TCNs in the legacy system, and there was no easy workaround to prevent that moving forward. So the only way to easily eliminate the occurrence of duplicate TCNs was to have this automated system. Again, it's an MVP system. Custom TCNs were not approved as part of the MVP program, so it is something that we can consider implementing in the future, but as of right now, there's no way for us to change the way the TCNs are generated, and it would not be anything we could implement anytime soon based on the other important enhancements and updates that we have to make. Okay, why are we getting so many TOs, so many DLA transfer orders? Okay, this is another thing. TCNs are generally grouped based on several criteria that has to match. So they have to have the same listing AAC, surplus release date, zip code, priority, and of course, specialty FSCs are separated from other FSCs. In the old GSA access system, DLA property was lumped together by DRMO location versus using that listing AAC. But that was not implemented in this system. So that's why before, when you'd see one transfer order per DRMO, now you're seeing several because it's being based off of that listing AAC or the first six digits of the item control number. So we are working on an enhancement for this for sometime next year, maybe enhancement two, maybe enhancement three. We don't know yet, but we are aware that it's an issue and we will try to get it fixed as quickly as we can. Okay, you'll notice when you go into your completed transfers tab, you have all of the old ICNs, and it can be a bit daunting seeing them all there. And they start with the oldest, and then they go to the newest. So if you're on page one, you're seeing the oldest TCNs. As you go toward, you know, the end of the pages, you're seeing the newer ones. So having all the TCNs available makes it easier for SASPs to easily find and you know, download their historical transfer orders. And you can see a lot more information in the system about the transfer orders as well. Having the oldest first, this is a known issue, and we are going to add the ability to sort by TCNs to our enhancement list. In the meantime, a good workaround is just navigating to the very last page of your TCNs and going back from there. So that's what I've been doing on the, you know, when I need to go into the GSA side and find something, I just navigate to the very last page of results and start working my way backwards if I don't have any kind of search criteria that I can use to narrow it down. Oh, I think that's the end of the presentation. So I know that that was a lot that we covered. I know we got some questions in the chat, but I think those are all answered. So at this point, we will, I guess we can allow SASPs to unmute and ask questions. DLA also has an update to provide. So let's open it up for questions first on anything we talked about today.
Okay. Hey, Christina, this is Sam. Can you hear me?
Hey, yes, I can hear you, Sam.
Hey, so I do have a question. I don't know if it makes any difference, but a curiosity question. So if GSA Access started out as a bare bones system many, many, many moons ago, and over the years, all of the enhancement features were built into GSA Access to make it more usable, why weren't all of those features simply carried into the new system?
Yeah.
Instead of starting out from scratch again.
Yeah, sure, you can take it, Matt. Thank you.
Hey, Sam, it's definitely a valid question. Unfortunately, we have so many different edits, different features, how we handle different things in the system. It would take pretty much unlimited resources in terms of time and money to develop all of them. So unfortunately, when we developed the system, given the budget and the schedule we had to prioritize the features that basically what we need to do our jobs. It's not going to have, unfortunately, all the bells and whistles right out of the gate. This isn't a completely new programming language. It's a modern platform. So it's not like, unfortunately, we can't like cut and paste like the code from the legacy systems to the new systems and incorporate all of those unique features and business rules.
Yeah, Matt, and I want to tack on to that as well to say that, you know, we launched the system when we did because we basically had to move off of that old platform. So like Matt said, that old programming language was completely outdated. It was on an old mainframe, and we as GSA are moving away from that mainframe, right? So we had to launch this system when we did. There was no choice. And so we were working within the constraints that we could, as Matt mentioned, with the time and the money, and we tried to implement as many of those upgraded features as we could in the time that we had.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Sam. If you have any other questions, you can either chat them into the group or you can chat them out loud. So I do see that one question was, will the SAS have the ability to edit TCNs in the future? I don't have the answer for you today. It would require, you know, it would require us to meet with our vendor and see if that's possible at all. And then if so, what that would look like. So, it's something we're looking into, but I don't have an answer for you today. So sorry about that.
Hi, this is Tony from Minnesota. I do have a question. In regards to the GSA, the sales portion of it,